Welcome back, everybody. Today's episode is all about answering a question we hear from interior designers all the time that is massively affecting your success. How do I close my jobs? Either more profitably, more consistently, close rate. This is everything. And we are here to build successful business owners. So this question needs to be answered, people. Shayna Rose, share your genius.
Yes. So let's just fast forward and make sure we all get in alignment with the initial sales flow. I am not getting into the whys because we would be here for 20 minutes just talking about the whys. We have an initial discovery call, about 30 minutes, free conversation. We sell them to an initial flat fee intake. Don't care what type of service, what level of service, we're all funneling through in the same initial intake that's inclusive of a two-part consultation, bringing more value to that, whatever that fee is. First initial meeting is going to the home or reviewing the plans, aligning the scope.
Do not show up on site if that client has not paid you. Please, we're better than that in the year 2026.
Do not. Don't be scared to sell your ideas. Everything that floats into your brain, oversell. That's what they're paying for. Yes, they could take those ideas and run, but that's not what they're looking for. They're looking for someone to do the job. So let's not have fear of that. Let's get paid on the value of that. Go to the home, meet them virtually, whatever you're doing. Get an alignment of the scope, share ideas. You're going to be adding to the scope because that's why they're hiring you. They didn't envision wall covering or a possible built-in or whatever it is. Dream it up. Come back to the office and then price that in a controlled fashion, which we have on another podcast episode.
And just to say, go back to our pricing models episode. If you've been listening to For Designer Business, hopefully you know the why of what Shayna calls her hybrid pricing model. But hourly people, flat fee people, this still applies to you.
But in theory, we get back to the office, you put your proposal together, maybe some type of presentation tied to that. You schedule a second call. I call this the closing call, whatever you want to call it. It's the money call.
Forward facing, a lot of times we'll call it the contract review meeting or something along that, you know, rather than closing, which to some clients could feel a bit icky.
Yeah.
But what we're calling it in our business brains is the closing call because that is the objective of this meeting.
Yes. Meeting number one, design. Meeting number two, money. Everyone's uncomfortable to talk about the money. That's why everyone skips this step. We got to get over it. And basically on this call, I'm going to give you a structure, a wireframe. What do they call it when you can freestyle around a simple structure so you're not memorizing a script? That doesn't feel good. Sales doesn't feel good in that sense. But a nice agenda or bullet points that you know you have to talk through, eventually you're going to realize it just flows out of you. I have 0% anxiety showing up onto anyone's closing call and closing a job for them. Why? Because I feel like I could just go through it in my friggin' sleep. From top to bottom, I know exactly what to do. Let's cover it. So the second part, we're talking about money. We don't need to talk about the design. We did that in meeting one. We get onto the call. There's really three main things we need to align with them. One, your process. We need to show a ton of value to that full service process or whatever top level service you're selling. Level up, top down sell, people. Allow yourself to be able to pull back easily and get on the same page. I say build the dream. So outline that process to them. Step two is look at the money and negotiate. We're going to talk about that. Your pricing model should allow you to negotiate. Challenge me on that. Come at me.
They will not be negotiating your rates. We are not saying lower your rates for this client, lowering your profit margin on product for this client. No. But you can allow the client to have that feeling of control, that feeling of negotiation by allowing them to have ownership of their scope, which is ownership of their budget. So don't let negotiate send up some kind of red flag for you, but that's going to feel really good to that client.
Yep. So step two, we get an alignment of the actual money. I like to call step two like, this is where we play poker. And I also don't like to send the proposal prior to this call.
I was just about to say that.
I know you were trying to beat me to that, but because it's the biggest thing, it's I feel like it's everyone's main mistake. Unless you really know the client's budget, you're very, very clear on the level of service, which 9 times out of 10, they're trying to hold that close to them. Everyone has a number in their brain. When they say, oh, I don't know, what do you think? Please,
flexible. I get that all the time on responses to the booking questions at Discovery. What's your budget? Such a clear question. Flexible. People love to say that.
Right. Please.
Not helpful.
They do know. So it's a poker match. We're showing money live. That allows us to evaluate the nonverbal cues of their communication or get that initial reaction to it to help your negotiation. There's a lot of things you can look for to help know how to save that sale.
What's their tell? Yep. And even that client who maybe they really didn't know consciously their number, how they feel when they see the number you have presented teaches them what their number is real quick.
So step two, money negotiation. From that point, step three, we're talking contract.
Terms of service.
We're pointing out key things that are critical to review with them. Retainer management, how you keep them in control of the money. That's a benefit of selling this hybrid way. Flat fee, the money's the money. Some rebuttals that happen in that is like, well, what happens if it doesn't work out? That's a hard question to answer. What happens when it doesn't work out in this retainer base? You get back the time that we didn't spend. And that's fair on all sides. We've made it make sense. And now the pricing model and the money makes sense. Now we're going to give them the feeling of control that here's how the retainer management, our team, will keep you in control of your money so that you feel good about working with us. And then another big thing is aligning your purchase flow. So if it's full service, if it's wholesale, there are common questions to ask at that point to help them understand all the nuances. We'll get into that probably in a little bit. And then lastly, if you are doing that project management, the largest open-ended, I don't know, in a sales process is to be crystal clear what you have factored into that process. And also have something in your process that stops you to realign with them before you're out of time, out of money, and you and them have no clue why. So that's your main three. We'll dive a little deeper into those and just make sure those are feeling good. And ultimately, when you start that call, you're basically just realigning the client's mindset of, hey, listen, first part was design. Now we're going to get into the logistics. I usually use logistics instead of being straight part. Let's talk money, but
yeah,
read the room. If they feel funny, I might go for a chummy, let's get into the money conversation. Or one more thing I want to say is that's where the value of a partnership comes into play, where one person can be represented as the creative brain and your operations officer. That's often how I'm introduced on those calls, is going to run you through the logistics, the process. And then that allows you to have that chummy nature of let's get into the money type of a dynamic.
Right. And another thing too that I want to say, we mentioned it super briefly at the beginning, but I think it does kind of bear repeating. We are calling this process the client intake, not the design consultation. And that right there becomes a USP on your discovery call.
Let me just say USP, unique selling proposition, something that makes you different than someone else.
Your differentiator. You have this client intake process. Right off the bat, you are very process oriented to this client. Right off the bat, they're getting more than just the consultation. The consultation is when you enter the door, walk around the room, and leave the door. Following that, it's this is what I'm creating for you, a detailed scope of work, a very detailed proposal of costs. Then you have another meeting with myself and my operations manager to review the logistics of your project. Oh, client intake, I get the price. There's more that you're selling in that. And it allows the client to have crystal clear expectations on what they're getting throughout that. Now they have had that design consultation with you. They've fallen in love with you and your ideas. Now you have had the time to go back and prepare with your pricing tool and your templates exactly what this proposal will be. And now you are arriving to this call that we're going to talk about again in a little bit more detail with everything that you need to close this client, knowing that they're ultimately going to have some control and ownership. But you know that the preparation you've done, no matter how many changes to that scope are made, it will be profitable to you. So there's a no-lose situation.
Yeah, we are selling on value, not money. And I feel like that's a really, really big differentiator between where people struggle. They get so stuck on the money, especially when I work with people on their pricing model. Often the fee goes up. 9.9 times out of 10, the fee goes up because outlining an actual, especially, I want to say like nearly 100% from flat fee, but okay, I'll give my 0.1% margin there. But because when you outline process and actually evaluate time to do this thing in an organized fashion and then layer in additional people and delegation, time is time. You cannot change time.
The truth is the truth.
The truth is the truth, people. Don't get me started on that one, all right? That's my...
Your mantra.
Mantra. Truth is the truth. Ain't that the case?
The numbers are the numbers. The money is the money. The time is the time.
The process is the process. It just is what it is. There's no getting around it.
So what you were saying is that this call outlines all of those expectations, especially when combined with your specific pricing model and that hybrid and what it allows in terms of just the absolute clarity of the money and the time and how those two go together. But even if you're closing flat fee still, which go back to that pricing model episode, we'd love to nudge you in the right direction there, especially if you're going to delegate and grow. Even if you're charging hourly, this call can still help you close at a higher rate, get fewer no's, and just get those clients booked and in the door.
So let's go through a closing call. Let's just mock a closing call. There are going to be some nuances to not having a defined scope in front of us. So I'll clarify, it'll be a little bit more simplified, but how I would plug in the specifics to clients. So step one, if you're on the call, you're just simply letting them know, hey, purpose of this call is to align logistics. I'm going to talk through process with you, make sure you're crystal clear on how it would feel and what you could expect at our meetings together. Then we're going to look at the design fee. We're going to realign on that. Reminder, you're going to see my suggested furnishing list and you're going to see the budget that that calculated to. That's your money to control. So we're going to look at that at an itemized approach and make adjustments as necessary, as well as realign the level of service if we need to when we look at that design fee. Following that, we're going to get into how we control the retainer. We're going to look at the contract and just talk about some key aspects to make sure we're on the same page with how we keep you in control, how we facilitate our purchasing, and also what level of service we factor into our management of the design. All sound good? Great.
I'll be the client. Yes, that sounds great. Thank you.
Yeah. Great. Sounds great. Now we're organized. They know there's direction for this call that we're going to bring them through. You're also organized to have an efficient conversation. Okay, great. Step one, we are going to explain the process. Many ways you can do this. Everyone overthinks this. I need a big presentation. And you know what? I can support a presentation deck to help guide you through the conversation, to help make sure you hit all the points. If you can't visualize it in your brain, if it's not feeling natural yet, that is something I've done with people to just help present. It's not necessary. I never use anything. You're just being a human. You're having a conversation with them. I will screen share into other deliverables following point 2 and 3, but this one we don't have to overthink, or if you want to, sure, throw it up. But odds are, if you have your sales flow correctly, you should have already sent that informational visual to them throughout this process, so they're already pre-educated. That would be the best sales process.
Good, better, best. If we're still in that good category and you've got a visual for it and you pop it up at this point and use it to direct yourself, bravo, you're on the board. Great job. Credit where credit is due.
Yeah. And if we're past that and you have a machine going, then you should make your way to Evelyn to automate that bad boy and make yourself look really good. Clients followed up with consistently, all the things. But again, it does not matter. Let's not overthink it. We don't have a presentation. Who frigging cares? Okay, now I'm talking you through process. Transition sentence I always use. If all feels good, after this call, I'm going to send you a contract and I'm going to send you an invoice. You're going to sign the contract. You're going to submit your initial retainer payment. We'll go over how we keep you in control of that later. And we're going to schedule our first two initial meetings. Might be one for you, that first initial inspiration and further aligning the aesthetic direction of the design. If you're a larger team, you might also have a project manager who you're sending out to do site measures, all different processes. But let's just say
this isn't about how to run your process, but this is where in your meeting agenda that we're giving you, you are outlining it in detail. Be proud of your process. Don't be afraid to be thorough. Again, it's a differentiator. These clients will feel good about having a process that they really feel is predictable for them.
Yeah. And this is why I don't even coach on the closing call conversation until I workshop with someone on the pricing model if you're having a hard time, because a lot of you I know out there are like, I don't have a process. You do. I'm going to challenge you. Do you, if you have collected money and finished projects and set them free, you have some semblance of a process there. I promise you that. We just have to carve it out,
massage it,
enhance a little bit here and there,
zhuzh it,
offer some perspective. So likely this is the problem right here, because I know some of you are like, well, I couldn't do this. But here's how it is. The baseline is we're giving them how you rock your conceptual phase, how you align the aesthetic direction of that design. We want to focus this on the meetings for the client.
Value to the client. Value to the client. What are they going to feel from this? What are they going to benefit from this? I would also say be a little bit careful of vocabulary, certainly like naming your phase work, you know, conceptual design. I don't mean like that, but just be careful of your vocabulary in this call too. Speak in the language of the client so that they can truly understand the what's, the whys, the hows, the whens.
This was also super simple, but there's a designer I coach with who said this was so helpful to her. We did like a fire session right before her closing call. She's like, give me the tools I need. I'm like, you got this. And something I drove into her head, she went on a walk before the closing call, closed it, by the way, of course.
Cha-ching.
I said, when you talk through your process, I want you to say, at this meeting, we're going to review this, and then I'm going to execute that. And then at this meeting, I'm going to show you, and we're going to review these things, and then I'm going to do that. She did give me the feedback after that. That was what kept her brain skipping ahead. Because to the client, what's super valuable is their expectation of each meeting. So that we want to make sense to them. And then also we want them to understand that all the time and all the work that needs to happen in between those phases so that there's value to the time. We also want to outline inside that it's good to know the specifics of the scope when educating through that process of we align on the aesthetic direction, we'll do all the conceptual drawings. Once we have that signed off, we really know the complete shopping list. We know dimensions. We know quantity of materials. We're in further alignment of budget. If you're renovating, you've communicated to trades. The big picture is all together. In a new build, you have a pre-phase that happens before that with the architect, all that work. Then we go into detailed design. Then I'm going to start sourcing your things. That might have a strategy. If it's a big scope, you might be breaking that into, let's focus on the renovation spaces. Then let's focus on the spaces we're furnishing. And if it's a lot of furnishing or a lot of renovation, you might break that up into priority. Might be overwhelming, more than three spaces to present to a client at a time. And by doing something like that, that can smooth out the workflow internally by feeding a client progress and also calming things down operationally. But all different strategies. You might be under fire, like they already hired the contractor, the walls are open, oh my God. Then you're going to go rough and electric. Knock those out, then go hard surfaces. Not ideal. It's fine. We're going to make it through. And then go furniture. All good. So that's that detailed design phase. We're making it make sense. We have to be clear with the design deliverables we're baking in throughout this. I start with black and white rendering. Then I go into illustrative in the conceptual. I also do shaded elevations for you for custom millwork and furniture to really paint the picture. Beyond that, we go into digital presentation boards. I enhance those to photorealistic renderings with the virtual walkthrough, and I'm outlining how many concepts I'm envisioning for each space. I want to be specific with my scope, okay? The bathroom, we're doing one layout. The layout, there's only one way to do it. I'm not drafting multiple concepts. However, the master bath, there are two concepts I'm going to show you to outline. So we want to be clear through our process, and then I stop at the end. We get through the process, I'm like, any questions that you have. That's super important to not steamroll someone for friggin' 20 minutes and then you're like, you'll watch them glaze. It's a lot of information. So I stop after each point. Any questions? How's that feeling? Most people don't have questions. You did a good job. They don't have questions. Some people get ahead of you and they might have questions to something about money, retainer, and then you control the conversation by like, we're going to be jumping into that and then answer on a quickly yes, but I'm going to get into that further to come. So not many rebuttals happening at that time. Okay, step two, I usually go into a screen share and now we're looking at money. This is the money. This is the poker match. We're ready to drop her down and see the reactions. We are definitely looking to read the room. And P.S., if there are two decision makers, you basically want to mandate that both of them need to be on the call. It's basically necessary.
Absolutely.
And if not, and you just can't make it happen, then you should record that call and send that video over, because now you're trusting that whoever that partner is going to sell this for you. And a lot of times when that person isn't on the call, I find it's the actual decision maker who's going to pay the bill. So we definitely want to try and require that they're both on the call because they both need to sign the contract. And we want to just ensure that all parties are on the same page and both people are able to share. You know, a way to spin it is to have a voice and make sure their ideas are heard.
Yeah. That's a non-negotiable that's kind of in the client's control, always scary. A non-negotiable that's within your control. You have to be prepared on that call to not flinch at your own number. Your pricing tool should give you the confidence in this. It all comes from value you're providing. It all comes from the benefits of the client. It all comes from your differentiators. If you haven't done that workshop to yourself that you're selling with confidence, I promise you that client can feel that. That's a mental exercise for yourself. If you want to close at that 100% close rate, buckle up, baby.
Your pricing model should be on a spreadsheet. Leave us a voicemail and challenge me on this, but I can't think of anything else that you would be using to price your job. It should be on a spreadsheet. Start there. Reverse engineer those flat fees. I don't like square footage. You want to use it to price it, you know, to each their own. But I still want to have something on a spreadsheet and not just one line item that's like, here's the livable square footage and here's the calculation. No, I want a process documented and I want that flat fee that you created broken down into an hourly approach so you understand what the hours should be and or what your true hourly rate actually is.
Yep. This goes into now, Shay, to keep us going through the process of the call into the money. This is also the tool you are actually using on the screen share to facilitate this conversation.
Yeah, and that seems scary to people. There is a summary screen that I start on. It summarizes the process. It shows an estimation of hours per phase. It has a way of helping me see numbers of negotiable time. What's negotiable? Renderings are always negotiable to me. Shaded colored drawings are always negotiable to me. And there are other negotiable levels of service. That's going to be a whole other podcast because there's going to be so many people who challenge me on that.
Yeah. We already need to start wrapping this up, girl.
Yeah, exactly. So I show a summary screen. And the point of this is if I need to negotiate, if the fee is too high, then they will see the detailed process page because I'm going to do it live with them. I'm going to knock things off live with them so they can see how systematized, and it always blows people's mind. You got to remember, these people are not creative brains. You're the creative. If they were creative, they would design their own freaking home. That's just the truth. They are more numbers, spreadsheet focused brains. Most big powered CEOs, they see that thing and like, wow, someone told me last week that one of their clients was like, oh my God, this is how I work in my line of business, except your spreadsheet is like so much better. That's what she said. He was stoked. It builds trust. It's calculated. There's an approach. There's a process. You look organized.
And the client feels in control, not in a way that takes you out of control on your end, but the client feels in control.
Right. And here's where we stop after we present it. Are you guys feeling like this is in alignment with your budget? Done. Let them respond. And then continue to pivot from that conversation. From there, we'll do that in another episode.
Knowing how high of a close rate you have, Shay, you get people to the yes, you get people to ultimately sign on the line. At this point, what do you feel is the percentage of people who say, not quite, this isn't quite in alignment with my budget? there is a very, very low percentage. I don't even know if I can quantify it, but this just happened to someone else where they're not proceeding with the project or another designer. They're waiting because now they're so educated at what their project is actually going to cost. They're like, we don't want to just lessen the quality of furnishings or decrease scope or, you know, approach with them is to see if they want to just go one room at a time and thin this out. There are ways that you can pivot around, but there are rare instances where you educate the client and it's just premature. They're not ready. They just bought the house. They just spent all this money and they're like, okay, we kind of overshot this, but we're happy. We're coming back. We just need time
to do it right.
That is the meat and potatoes of showcasing the money, negotiating if need be, closing live on the call in a systematized way. And then we're just going screen share into the contract because I don't want any silly contract questions after I've closed you live. You always get that live yes. You know where that client is. And then on that contract, we're talking about how we keep them in control of the retainer. So your reporting system to them, whatever that looks like. Usually when I get into purchasing, my question here to the client is, have you ever worked with a designer that's purchased wholesale? Because that will swing the direction of my conversation. So we get into the way we sell products to them, anything tied to that, all of the third-party issues that do happen all the time. And we're going to be on the same team together and be your best advocate. Start seeding that from there. Issues are normal. And then also outline what you have baked in on that project management side in terms of time or the quantity of visits or however you're working that. And again, there's a bunch of different ways that we can talk through how you can initially sell that phase of the project.
Think about it as the clauses that you would put the initials next to. If you were just sending out the contract and that retainer payment, what would you want to make them stop and initial? Go through it on the call. Just go through it on the call. Don't trust the client. I know myself, I've clicked initial, initial, initial before. I try not to do that anymore. But you want these clients to know what's important to you and what your non-negotiables are and what you stand by. And I think just going through that on the call, still with that spin of it being for them. It is a benefit to them. You are their advocate. These are the terms that you live by will hugely benefit you as compared to getting the yes on all the exciting stuff, the design, the process, even the budget. And then you send it out and then they're coming back to you about profit on project, you know, splitting your discount, whatever. No, don't do it.
Don't cause your own delays. You're going to cause your own delays in doing that and annoyances with communication and follow-up and long emails and just don't do it. That call is so valuable. There is no cutting it out. You cannot convince me. Certainly send us a voicemail and try. But honestly, that structure has never let me down.
And Shay, it sounds like a lot. How long do you schedule this meeting for?
This is a 30-minute call.
30 minutes, people. It sounds like a lot because we're trying to like give you the tools. But when you get this in your bones that Shayna was saying she could go through it in her sleep, it's not a lot in terms of your time investment, but it's a lot in terms of how much better you and your client will feel entering into that project.
Yeah. Now, don't get me wrong. There have been calls that have gone an hour because you've got the question fairies out there that just, I feel like, how could we possibly have another question? Or you have your conversationalists. And just one thing to say, and I'll leave it there, is these are signs you should be tracking in that first initial consult that when you're pricing the job, if you're working with a conversationalist or a participant, as I like to call them, someone who has to join in the fun. Okay, that is going to take so much more time. You layer that in and you express that. Okay, last story and then we're done. Because it cracks me up because I got this note. I was closing for someone else. And in the notes, it said that we have concerns about the wife and she's a shopper. And it was this Hamptons home. You know, it was her second home. You can kind of profile people like she probably didn't work. She wants her home to look beautiful. They have the money, but she's in this for the fun too. So I get on the call and I express how long and the quantity of meetings and I'm layering it on. And I said, I do have to share. If you trust the process and all your feedback comes in the beginning, send it now before that first initial meeting so that it's all baked into the inspiration. The hours are going to stay in alignment. If you participate, start shopping,
that is when you are going to drag out the project, constantly sharing things that you've seen. The look on this guy's face, oh my God, it was classic. He turned to his wife.
Yep.
I mean, it was like the nastiest slow turn. And all he did then was like nod with the eyes closed, like in total understanding of what the heck I was saying, because it was so classically her. And he was like, I completely understand. And we're certainly going to try to send you all of our feedback. P.S. This was a $99,000 design fee initially too, which was like, this is what we need. The minimum is 99, you know? So this guy is just like, do not. Became highly recommended. He knew this was going to be the designer. Oh, it was great. It's like in my brain, the look of she's going to cost me money. I know it. And this is just my life. You know, like she's been just also always costing me money. Close your mouth and trust the process. But anyway, I hope that helped everyone. There's a lot of gaps into this. If you have questions about it, again, use the voicemail. We can dive into some of these specifics together. But that's that process. Review with them the purpose of the call, process, present the money, negotiate if we need to, go into the important contract terms.
Reading their body language and facial expressions throughout, asking if they have questions throughout.
Stopping, making it conversational.
Make it make sense.
Mims it, baby. Make it make sense. That's all it is, all right?
And close those jobs, babes. We got this.
Cha-ching, baby.
Cha-ching, cha-ching. See you next time.
See ya. Well, that's a wrap on today's episode. If there's one thing we want you to walk away with, it's this. That closing call is non-negotiable. It is the single most important step between a maybe and a signed contract. This is where you stop losing jobs to silence, stop wondering why clients ghost you after the send of the proposal, and start closing consistently at a higher rate with total clarity on both sides. Meeting one is design. Meeting two is the money. And if you've been avoiding that money conversation because it feels awkward, we are here to help you push through that discomfort with confidence and clarity.
Here's the truth. You are not selling a fee or a price, you're selling value. When you show up to that closing call with a systematized process, a detailed proposal, and the confidence to walk through your numbers without flinching, clients feel that. They see your organization, they see your professionalism, they trust you, period. But if you don't believe in your pricing, or if you're scared of your own spreadsheet, the client's gonna feel that. So get clear on your value, own your process, and stop apologizing for what you're worth.
So here's your action plan. If you don't have a structured closing call built into your sales flow, create one this week. Outline your three key points. Walk them through your process, present and negotiate the money live, and review the critical contract terms. Practice it over and over again until it feels natural. And if you're already doing a closing call, but you're emailing the proposal ahead of time, please stop doing that. Get on the call, screen share that proposal, play that poker game, and watch their reaction in real time. That's how you negotiate. That's how you save the sale. That's how you close.
If your current pricing model does not give you the flexibility to adjust scope without slashing rates or killing profit, it is time to rebuild it. Your pricing needs to be rooted firmly in data, organized in a way that makes sense, and structured so that you can confidently negotiate without losing profit. If you're just winging the numbers or relying on square footage, you are leaving money on the table and making it harder to close the deal.
So, when you're ready to stop sending proposals into the abyss, stop losing jobs because you skipped the most important call, and start closing with confidence every single time. Take action now. Go to fordesignerbusiness.com or click the booking link in the show notes for this episode to schedule a free call with us. Stop making excuses. You're just one phone call away from reaching the next level in your design business.
If you found value in today's episode, do us a favor and help us reach more designers just like you by rating, reviewing, and subscribing wherever you listen. Then go send us an anonymous voicemail to get free coaching directly from us right here on this podcast. We are here to build you into the most successful design business owner you can be. Remember, if you've ever collected money and delivered a finished project, you do already have a process.
We just have to pull it out of your brain, organize it, and make it repeatable. We're here to support you every step of the way. So build that process, practice that call, and start booking those clients with confidence.
So take action today. Commit to mastering your sales process and watch your business transform when you finally nail that closing call. Until next time, keep designing and keep dreaming. Let's go.